Wait, are we? Do we need to change name or not?
Well, we can call you like Alex.
Sounds good.
Alex, would you like some water, Alex?
I wouldn't mind. I need to get used to people calling me Alex for a while.
Yeah, okay.
This is a CNA Insider podcast, and my name is actually Ruth. But we've changed the name of our profile today because what he's about to share is very personal. They're the intimate parts of his life that even his family and some of his closest friends don't know about.
My parents are traditional and conservative, who don't talk about these kind of things with us children.
That's right, we're talking about sex, love and relationships. A complicated enough topic for most people, and even more so when you're in a wheelchair.
So Alex, can you tell us, so what was it like growing up with cerebral palsy?
As a young kid, 5 years old or 6 years old, I did not understand myself why I was different from other people.
So Alex is 33 and works in IT. He moves around mostly in a wheelchair with a helper by his side. He has use of his arms and legs, and now, after many years of rehabilitation, is able to walk around with the aid of a walker. But when he was a child, it was mostly a wheelchair.
During my primary school days, for some weird reason, the lowest class of rank used to be in the highest floor of the building. So I had my parents and my domestic helper carry me up 4 flights of stairs to make me sit in the classroom. Back then, the seating arrangement was, I would usually sit right next to the teacher's desk. So I used to think, why is it that people don't want to sit with me?
So while the other kids would be out in the playground making friends through games like hopscotch, Alex would be stuck in the classroom, copying notes from the lesson before because he had trouble controlling his hands, and that made him slower than everyone else. There was even this one time where his teacher told him,
you know, you are too slow, you know, I don't have the time to wait for you to finish copying, blah, 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 you know, those kind of stuff. I even came home and told my parents, I said, I don't want to go to school. It's a very stressful environment and I don't want to go there.
What was their advice to you?
The only advice is you have to go to school because you have to study.
At home though, Alex had issues of a different kind. Ironically, finding time to be completely alone.
In my teens was a different experience for me because parents were naturally concerned because of my physical condition. They were always watchful and careful and making sure that I didn't fall or didn't unknowingly injure myself.
So they were always there.
It'll be like, for example, if they don't hear any sound at all, they'll get worried because this guy fallen onto the ground, has he passed out? Is he having some seizures or something like that? I was having difficulty in being able to lock my room door or the toilet door when I'm showering or changing. And this had an effect on my sexuality exploration. As a teenager who was 13, 14, I started to have erections and all that. I was being cared for by my parents and my domestic helper.
Who was female?
Yes, my domestic helper is still a female. They were helping me more with day-to-day activities. And, you know, I was able to hide it to a certain extent. But when I became older, the hormonal changes got stronger. I kind of start researching and understanding, things like masturbation and all that stuff. But when it came to that, the next problem was privacy.
So, I mean, was that kind of a way out for you then? I mean, that was the moments where you could get some sort of privacy, you know, too.
Yes, but the thing is, the bathroom door is still not locked.
Right, so there's always this hanging kind of like anxiety. Somebody's going to come in, somebody may come in.
Exactly.
So it was around that time that Alex started to pay attention to the girls around him as well. Coming from a mixed-gendered secondary school where friends were getting into relationships and experiencing first love, Alex wondered, when would it be his turn?
Even if I had feelings for someone, my conscious mind would tell me, better don't go and tell them, because you have a disability and they're going to put it off to you because you have a disability. So I was like, even if I like someone, I'm not going to tell it.
Had they ever mentioned to you that I'm never ever going to date somebody with a disability or any of that kind of thing to you ever before that gave you this fear that, okay, you know what? I have a disability. It's not going to work out.
No, I think for my initial years, it was a preconceived notion. And I think my childhood of being alone.
So now, just to give you an idea of how shy and closed off Alex was towards members of the opposite sex, he wouldn't even take a glass of water from a girl who wasn't a family member because he'd have to grip her hand to do so.
At the age of 18, 19, when you started to become more attuned to the fact that there were girls around and you saw your friends having girlfriends, did it ever make you jealous?
Yes, I mean, I wouldn't say jealous, but the thought of why not me came into mind. My first relationship was when I was 20. This was actually something that I least expected to happen.
So let's just call Alex's first girlfriend Jane. Jane was the sister of one of his childhood friends and their family had moved abroad, but the two never lost contact.
One day when she was here, after going out somewhere, we decided to have dinner. So at the dinner was where she told me that she has feelings for me.
How did you react?
You want me to be honest?
Yeah.
It will sound a bit rude, but...
Go ahead.
Are you crazy? Is she taking me for a ride or something? I was like, no. I think this is because of just infatuation or whatever. I'm sure you need to do a lot of deep thinking towards this again. I was totally shocked for a perfectly able-bodied human being to come and tell me that she's got feelings for me.
What were you worried about?
I thought it was a kind of a thing where she doesn't know what she's getting herself into, because I have a disability and that would mean there's a lot of ADL issues involved, which I may need help and all that.
What's ADL?
Activities of daily living.
Okay.
You don't know my problems or my struggles of activities of daily living, because you meet me as a friend for 2-3 hours, I go home and that's it.
So Jane went back to her country, and it took Alex 3 months of thinking and countless conversations with friends before he decided to give her a shot.
Do you think she did understand your disabilities well?
I think she understood it very well. I think she, in many scenarios, has shown me maturity of someone who is far more older than her age. For a simple thing of, you know, going out together, we never had a situation where we had to stop or change our plan and say, "Aya, how to do this because I'm on wheelchair." That's her planning. To her, my disability wasn't an issue. It was part of my identity.
Alex and Jane dated for a year before deciding to take their relationship to the physical level. But then Alex had a flashback to a bullying episode from when he was 16. One that made him question, can I even have sex? So in secondary 4, Alex was being helped by some classmates while using the toilet. Now aside from stealing his clothes and then leaving him naked in the cubicle, they told him that if he ever needed help standing up to have sex with his future wife, to call them, they said, and they'd hold him up to get the deed done.
That is so degrading and humiliating.
Yes, very, very humiliating.
So Alex and Jane discussed how they would do it. Now, besides having doubts, Alex was also more conservative by nature. But
if I don't try, I'll never know. we kind of worked it out, and it was at the end of the thing, although I had mixed thoughts, I had a little bit of mixed thoughts, like, did I do the right thing, you know? But the other end of it was like, internally I was a little happy, because I was like, it is actually possible.
Their long-distance relationship carried on for about 3 years. She would visit him in Singapore once every 2 to 3 months. But then one day...
That was my last week of exams for my bachelor's degree. September was the time. I got a call from her brother saying that, hey, you know, she met with an accident. I thought, okay, yeah, accident, okay. Is she hospitalized? Is she... You know, typically... Then the brother was like, no, man, I think this is quite serious, because she hit a tanker and the car was ablaze.
Jane died a few days later in hospital. Alex couldn't even travel to see her one last time because he had to sit for his final exams. And that's something he regrets to this day.
Do you think that you loved her?
I don't think that's a question at all. Because though she's no longer with me right now, because unfortunately she has passed on. But I still think about her quite a lot. I don't think I'll be lucky enough to find someone who will be able to care for me and see the normalcy in me as much as how much she did, in that sense.
In the years after Jane's death, Alex didn't try to seek out another relationship. And the only dates he went on were arranged by his friends and family. But these women and their relatives had some pretty direct questions for him.
What was that like?
Majority of these questions were on my condition, how I manage my condition, how much of support the person that I'm meeting would need to provide. Can you have kids? Do you think we'll have a chance of having a family together? Disability is still seen as a problem which the person has, or something that the person is dealing with.
So now, then the question would be, what do you look for in a partner? Who are you, you know, who do you want?
To be honest, I don't really have expectations on that. I'm even open to looking at persons with disabilities. But you must be able to help each other out for your different disabilities.
Why do you want to get married?
It's just for companionship. Yes, I want to start my own family. I love kids and all that. Yes. And there are certain points where only a spouse can come in and assist. You know, even a nurse from a hospital may be a little... she may do it because it's a job, but the uncomfortability will always be there.
But Alex's parents have a different view of things.
They are not quite convinced that I won't be a liability to my partner. As in, the caregiving role will supersede the spouse role. They are parents. I'm not blaming them. They have seen a lot of negativity in the whole situation. They have only spoke about whatever the things I cannot do, rather than the things that I can do and I'm doing. Persons with disabilities, their first interaction when you think about relationship is from a caregiver angle. Try to mold that caretaker point of view into a committed relationship, a committed marriage, and a committed companionship from your spouse.
So, last question. Why do you want to share your story?
I think many of them have this concern whether they are worthy of a relationship because of their disability.
And it also sounds like in your experience, you don't necessarily have to feel like even if I'm a person with disability, I have to be with another person with disability. It's possible to date somebody who...
It's possible. It's possible.
So, Alison started dating someone new and he's hopeful about this relationship. From all of us here, we wish him all the best on his new adventure. Thank you for listening. I'm Ruth Smalley, and you've been listening to a CNA Insider podcast. Catch you next time.